they are really important to the entire body of Christ in order to be able to function the way that the body is supposed to be able to function. Today in the gospel lesson, we see another angle on the calling of Simon Peter, which we talked a little bit about last week, and now we have the brothers of Zebedee who leave their nets and their father to follow Jesus. And if you recall, last week we talked a little bit about how, what if Peter hadn't followed Jesus? What if he hadn't walked into everything that he'd been called into? What would have been lost? And we look at looking down the road into the future, how Peter is used by God. God wants to use each one of you as well down the road from wherever you are right now, whatever your walk with the Lord has been up until this point. God has plans for you down the road as well if we will but open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and look at the spiritual gifts that He has given each one of us and unwrap them and learn to use them in the ways that God has called us to. So many of you know that I teach music 2 days a week at Albert Bridge School. And, I teach band. I teach beginning band, which sometimes is an earplugs required event. There are lots of different instruments that come together to make up a concert band. Presently, in one of the band sections that I teach, I have 6 beginning clarinets. Right? And so, occasionally, it's a wonderful sound. But I'm not sure each one of those students is gifted in clarinet. There might be a different instrument that they would do better at. I don't know, but they're all trying it out. They're all making an attempt at it. And so let's just imagine for a moment that you take the New York Philharmonic, right? And you say, all right, whatever instrument you've studied, whatever instrument you've perfected, put it away, you're all going to play trumpet. Now you've got learned musicians, you've got trained people, you've got folks that really know music, hand them a trumpet. It might not necessarily be what they're supposed to be doing. And I bet it would sound like a barnyard slaughter initially, right? It would be pretty awful if everybody was trying to play the same instrument and use the same gifting when they aren't really gifted in it. So you can probably see where I'm going with this. That in the church, there are a variety of gifts. If we look at Holy Scripture, you can see that there are lots of different gifts that are there, and they are all there and need to come together in order to form a healthy body of Christ. If we only have 6 beginning clarinets and half of them aren't supposed to be playing clarinet anyways, it's going to be interesting. But if we really take the time to discover what our gifts are, to discover what spiritual gifts God has given to you individually for the building up of the body of Christ and for the furthering of His kingdom, then what can come together is something absolutely beautiful of the body of Christ working together in harmony. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts. We're going to be trying to explore what Scripture says about them. Today I'm going to give you a little bit more of an overview. It's probably going to seem more like a teaching than a sermon. That's because it is. So it's just going to be a little bit different than what we usually have. You might need a Bible, so you might find it helpful to have one. There are some pew Bibles, or if you want to look at your phone, I don't think you're checking the weather. So you can see what the scriptures are. So, spiritual gifts. What are they? We're going to be taking a lot of this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. So if you want to turn there, you can be sort of glancing through 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as I talk, or whatever. I'm going to be coming back and forth to that. But Ray Stedman defines a spiritual gift as a capacity for service which is given to every true Christian without exception, and which was something which he did not possess before they became a Christian. So it's something that you receive by the Holy Spirit. It's spiritually given to you. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament word for that gift is charismata. And one of the most important things to know about that word is that it's based on the Greek word charis. I know, I'm sorry. Which means grace.
Yeah.
So grace being unmerited favor. The emphasis is that the spiritual gifts are given by God according to His good pleasure. One Christian will receive one gift, one will receive another, some may receive more than one. You know, there are various gifts out there. They are not given to us based upon, you know, popularity with God or how awesome we are as a Christian or, you know, what our rank, how many crowns we've already accumulated. they are freely given. They are gifts of the Spirit given to those of us that are following Christ and are filled with the Spirit. If we look back in Acts chapter 2, it says on the day of Pentecost, we read that God poured out His Holy Spirit on all people, on men and women alike. Luke writes, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter follows up in his speech that according to the prophet Joel, this was the plan all along. He says, and in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And he goes on. We can look that up another time if you'd like. It's in Acts chapter 2. So the gifts are available to all people. You know, God didn't give some gifts to a particular sect for some reason and some to another for some other reason and exclude people. Pentecost was this huge, generous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the sake of the building up of the body of Christ and the furthering of God's kingdom and the redemption ultimately of the whole world. And the gifts are available to everyone, no matter your background, your skin color, your ethnic heritage, your socioeconomic class, your marital status, your educational pedigree. There's unity in the body of Christ as found in the Holy Spirit. We are one body in Christ, right? We enter into the body through baptism. We have one way of being justified before God, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we all have this one unified future hope of the restoration of all things in the new heaven and the new earth. And until then, we are the body of Christ that has been given gifts to be able to affect the kingdom of God here on earth if we will but learn about them and walk in them and use them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, and so it is with Christ." And today in the epistle lesson, it spoke directly to unity. It spoke directly to who are we following? You know, and Paul kind of even gets a little bit of a chuckle and says, "I'm thankful I didn't baptize many of you, only these few people, and I can't remember if I did anybody else, but you know, we're supposed to be following Christ." And he's speaking directly to unity, finding unity in following Christ. So God is very creative, right? If we look around at the creation, we can see the nature of God at work in his creation, even though the creation is fallen and imperfect now. We can see all the variety of the beauty that he's created, and he's no less creative in the gifts that he gives us in order to be the body of Christ. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit we read. So all of the gifts are found in unity because it is given by the same Spirit. There's another place in Scripture that talks about spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." And then jumping into 1 Corinthians 12 again, it says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all Oftentimes our role as Christians in the body of Christ is compared to actual body parts, you know? Some people probably get tired of being a kidney, right? Dealing with all the junk all the time, filtering out the poison. You know, might be tired of being a foot, having to carry the weight of walking and moving the body forward. Or what about the eye? Or what about the mouth? You know, what about the ear? All different parts, but, you know, going back to the six beginning clarinets, if the body were made up entirely of eyes or entirely of kidneys, what would we do? It wouldn't work, right? We might think that one part is more important than the other, or one part is more desirable than the other, but without all of the parts functioning, what do we have? It's not going to work. It's the same in the church. We have gifts sitting here, waiting to be discovered, waiting to be learned about and locked in and brought to bear in Brownsville Community Church that will allow us to more faithfully complete what God is calling us to do. You have gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. Discover them. Learn about them. Be trained in them so you can be faithful in them. There's lots of discussions about, well, how many gifts are there? And depending on how you define the gifts and where you look in Scripture, you can come up with some different numbers, but I'm going to take sort of the broader approach on it and say that there's about 19 listed. Now, there are different categories of gifts, and we're going to talk about that in future Sundays. We're not going to get into that today, but there's about 19. It's not an absolute figure. And there's different words that can be used to describe similar or nearly identical gifts. But each follower of Jesus, according to Scripture, that is filled with the Holy Spirit, gets at least one, if not more. And the gift is not about you. It's a grace. Remember, going back to charismata, charis, it's a grace. It's not a sign that we're superior because we've received it. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We read in Ephesians. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. That's from 1 Peter. To each one of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So each one of us is given one of these gifts, at least one, for the common good. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. It's for carrying out the mission that God has entrusted to us. It's really about the community in which the gift receiver resides. You know, what gift has the Holy Spirit given to you that He wants to be able to use in you in Brownsville Community Church for the building up of the body and for the furthering of His kingdom in this area? The spiritual gifts are given to equip the saints for the work of ministry and for the building up of the body of Christ. So you receive a gift for the sake of the community to which you are called. And to not use your gift is to make the community weaker. Now, a really simple way to look at it would be, if look at a construction crew. You know, you get a bunch of people out there that are working to build a house, and some guy doesn't bring the air nailer. Right? You're trying to frame something and all you've got is screwdrivers. Good luck, right? If you're the one that's been given the hammer, bring it. We need it. We need your gift. The body of Christ needs the gift that has been given to you. When folks discuss spiritual gift, there's two objections that tend to come out about them. And one of them is, my gift is not important to you. You know, we feel like what our gift might be is inferior, or it's not important, it's not really a part of things. And Paul addresses that notion, and he says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. No, we all have something the body needs, and if we don't give it, the body is missing something. And the other argument that is often given is that your gift is not important to me. You know, we all, especially in New England, think we need to be autonomous and independent, and we can handle it ourselves. And if you someone offers help, we say, "No, I'll be fine." Well, is the body of Christ, we're not fine without all of the gifts functioning. You know, Paul takes this head on and he says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. Without them, where would we be? We all want to be self-sufficient, but spiritual maturity is learning that we are not. It is not needing people less. Maturity is discovering the richness and fullness of the presence of others and their spiritual gifts in your life. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the different categories of gifts that are listed in the New Testament. There's several different categories, and people group them different ways. And so what I'm going to be doing is grouping them in a way that I've learned. It's not the only right way to group them. There's different ways to look at it, but I would just like to be able to look at that with you next week a little bit. If you have any questions about spiritual gifts and about the different places in Scripture where they are found, you can shoot me an email. I have some resources that I can send you. And I would also like to make available to anybody who's interested the opportunity to engage in learning a little bit about what your spiritual gift personally might be. There's a tool out there that's a spiritual gift inventory that could help. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it's a starting point. You know, often our spiritual gifts are places where, you know, God can use what we're interested in and what our passions are and what we're good at with the opportunities that are around us. And so some of these spiritual gift inventories look at that. You know, if you're really, really good at helping people and you get joy out of that, maybe you have one of the spiritual gifts of helps. If you like to engage in hospitality, that might be one of those areas. But if hospitality drains you and makes you want to go into the other room and hide, maybe that's not it. You know, I don't know. Sometimes God calls us to things that we really have to rely upon Him for too, you know. But so these are some things to be thinking about. So, like I said, more of a teaching than a sermon, but next week we're going to look at some of the various categories of spiritual gifts. And so, if you want any homework, I know, right? I would encourage you to go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read the whole chapter. It'll take you 3 minutes. You know? And it's well worth it because it talks a lot about the different kinds of gifts and what's out there and what their purposes are. And beyond that, pray and ask God to open your heart and to begin to teach you about what your spiritual gifts might be. And when we come back together next week, hopefully we'll have a little bit more of an understanding and a little bit more of an openness towards what God is going to be teaching us about these things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us gifts to be able to fulfill what you've called us to do. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers us and leads us and guides us into all of these things. God, we pray that you would make the places where Brownsville Community Church needs to grow and to step into these areas of spiritual gifts a little bit more, make those areas apparent to us. We would be faithful to you, that we would not be afraid, that even if it stretches us a little bit, that we would step out in faith and trust that you don't call us out into the desert to fail and to die, but you call us that we might have life and have it more abundantly when we function fully in the gifts of your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the name of